Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm not sure what happened. Jeannie is there and must be having some technical difficulties. The fact that we don't hear those sweet
voices. I was mute challenged.
Good.
So we welcome everybody to the show. So today's Friday, January the 9th, 2015. This is Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice. We also have Dr. Tim Hayes with us. We welcome you to the show. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. Back to you, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart. And we are awesomely blessed by each of you that chooses to join us every day that you choose to join us. And our work is that of understanding this ancient technology that in the first century was called forgiveness. Quite the opposite of what our culture teaches. Nothing to do with me letting you off the hook because of what's going on inside of me, because of what I'm feeling, because of what I'm seeing. But rather, the tool with which, if I'm seeing inaccurately, I change the world that I see. Now, many people would say, well, wait a minute, Michael, now how can you change the world that you see? It's out there and that's the way it is. When the truth is, it isn't out there the way you see it. Nothing is out there the way you see it. Your mind produces its output very much like a computer does, and that is that based on the content, there will be accurate or inaccurate computations to produce a result. If you ask a computer that's structured with data that says 2 plus 2 equals 5 to tell you what 2 plus 2 equals, it will compute and produce a result. Its result will be 5. If you have a dozen, 100, 1,000, 10,000 sitting around in a room watching an event happen, each mind that observes the event will compute a reality based upon what that event resonates in them, based upon what that event stimulates in them, and each will experience its mind's output. And our culture forgot to tell us that our mind's output is a reflection of the content of our mind, and seldom does it even resemble what's actually happening out there in the world. So if the computer says 2 plus 2 equals 5, it's an error. That's the way it goes. If your mind says that somebody outside of me is the cause of my pain, my turmoil, or my trauma, then I'm in the same position as the computer that says, I have an error. Things aren't going to last very long if I live my life based upon that error. So to recognize if 100 people sit in the room and watch an event, each one of them will have a different reality. I mean, you've all played, I'm sure, the parlor game where somebody whispers in somebody's ear and they whisper, 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 and it goes all around the room. And in the other end of the room, it doesn't even resemble the story that it started out as. Why? Because when the first person computed a story to tell and placed it in the ear of the second person computed a story to tell, who placed it in the ear of the third person that computed a story to tell, who placed it in the ear of the fourth person. The fourth person didn't resemble the first person, and it won't resemble the hundredth, because each time we have a mind that interjects its own content. So the sooner we recognize that the world we see is a computation, literally based on 1,000 generations of data, the sooner we can start to bring correction if there's error. Well, Michael, how do you know if there's error? How do you know if you're looking at the same thing out there as somebody else is? Well, you're never looking at the same thing somebody else is. Never, never, never. Your eyes can't show you anything outside of you. You know, I use an example. Of course, you've all seen me, or many of you have seen me in a workshop, and I hold up a marker and say, how many see a marker in my hand? And I offer, nobody sees the marker that's in my hand. Nobody jams a marker into your eye and into your brain, and all the light energy that goes into your eye carries information about me and what's in my hand, but it doesn't carry a marker. No marker goes into your eye when you say, I see the marker in your hand. All that goes into your eye is light energy. That light energy sets in action a computation process. And so your mind, based on the generations of data that are in it, computes or produces a result, an image. The first signal that your computation is off base is that fear or hostility is felt within the computing system. That is an indication that your computation is incorrect. And the reason why that's important is because when your computations are incorrect, it won't serve your highest and best possibilities. And so when hostility or fear enters, it's a signal that it's time to deconstruct the result of the computation and correct the error at the root of the mind's output, so that the output will improve and increase the possibility that the end result, perception, will serve you best as a human being. Now, the tool for doing that process in the first century was called forgiveness. The tool for deconstructing the results of the mind computing its output. Yesterday afternoon, we took time here to play a little bit. We're staying actually with some friends in Treasure Island, Florida, and which is just adjacent to St. Petersburg, and St. Petersburg hosts the Dolly Museum. So yesterday afternoon, we went to the Dolly Museum, and it was just awesome. And, you know, the art is just pretty amazing. They had a Picasso display there as well, so it was kind of an interesting process to watch those two artists and how their lives intertwined and how they interacted and such. But one of the things, there was a gentleman who was leading a guided tour through some of the paintings and showing some of the images and, you know, what's hidden in the hidden part of the hidden part. And he referred back to many, many, many times how intrigued Dolly was with Freud, who discovered the unconscious. And they were his words. And most of the world thinks Freud discovered the unconscious. And how Dolly was intrigued by all of these, you know, unconscious dynamics and dreams and the things that his mind could come up with through these unconscious processes. And it just kind of reinforced for me as I watched. And, you know, this gentleman who was leading the tour talked a little bit about Dolly's relationships with women and how his fear and his terror and such. And you can see it in his paintings. Some pretty crazy stuff comes forward. But sadly, the world believes that Freud discovered the unconscious. He actually got a Nobel Prize for it. Some of the greatest minds on the planet, those who award the Nobel Prize, said, Mr. Freud, you have discovered the unconscious. We're going to give you this prize. Well, Freud no more discovered the unconscious than fly in the air. If you go back into the ancient Aramaic language, the syntax of the language describes how the unconscious works. It's built. It was so well known that it's actually built right into the structure of the language. And I couldn't help but think how much different might Dali's art and world have been, especially the parts of his life that were very dark and traumatic. This artist, or the gentleman who was doing the tour at one point, spoke about how his relationship with his wife, and that they lived in separate towns, and he would communicate that he wanted to come and see her. And she would write back to him and say, well, send me a written proposal to come and see me. And of course, with at least the way it was explained was that Dali had a lot of challenges with his mother and therefore with women. And that was part of what intrigued him about Freud's work. But how different might Dali's life have been if instead of going to these sometimes crazy images that he came up with out of his unconscious, if he had had first century Aramaic forgiveness, which would have given him direct access to his own unconscious mind. Most of the world, you know, we're pretty well versed in the idea that probably at least 95% of the data in the mind is hidden away at the unconscious level. And most people function unconsciously. Anywhere in your life that your physiology, that your mind is computing based in hostility or fear, you're computing and seeing a world that is unconsciously generated. And if you actually believe that the world that you see is outside of you, it's a great line in The Course in Miracles that says, you believe the problem's outside of you. If that were true, you would really be in trouble. But these crazy things that drive us, I mean, you look at the things that people are doing. I mean, these three young men, or two at least, over in France, and what they've done, driven by unconscious dynamics that result in insane conscious beliefs. And when we recognize the Aramaic had the keys to the unconscious, the keys to disease and pain and suffering, and if they were applied, then one could work through their unconscious processes and everything would change. No one is condemned to functioning out of unconscious processes. But if you don't have the tools, that 95% of the mind, which is the real powerhouse, runs the game in regard to finances for most people, runs the game in regard to relationships with spouses, with parents, with children, with neighbors, are run from those unconscious dynamics. And you ask the average person that's in some form of hostility or fear, well, why did you do that? They'll say, I don't know. Which, in essence, what they're saying is that they're not in touch with the part of their mind that's producing the drivers for their own behavior. So when you recognize that when you look at something in the world and you think you're actually looking at what's out there, you're looking at a reality or perception inside of your own mind based on generations and generations of these computations. And you recognize that everywhere in your generational history that there was an error made. Now, you know, take a look at mom and dad. Did you ever see them making errors inside of their relationship with each other? Those computations are based in every reality that your mind produces in regard to your relationships. Your parents' computations are included in every computation your mind makes about what you're going to do in your relationships. What do you know about your grandparents' relationships, your great-grandparents, and their parents before them? When you recognize that all of that data is at the base of the output of your mind, the possibility for the introduction of error is endless. Hence, it would seem to be in our best interest to have a standard for determining whether or not the output of our mind is probably correct or it isn't, and deconstruct as often as necessary until we arrive at flawless perception. If you were to choose to be responsible for the continuous output of your mind, and whenever hostility or fear came in, choose to deconstruct as often as you needed to your reality until you arrived at flawless perception, until you arrived at true perception, one of the five smooth stones of David that we've talked about. Your perception would sparkle with the actual presence of love. Your mind and everything it looked at sparkled with the active presence of love, and that love fed every cell in your structure with love and bliss 24/7, 365. I would offer that would be the signal that human life has returned to your human form. Jonas Salk had a powerful statement that he made. Our greatest responsibility is to be good ancestors. Watch The Ghost in Your Genes. There's a link on our website. There's a free watch of The Ghost in Your Genes. Take a look at it. And that's the conversation that the geneticists are now having. So who is it that makes the great breakthroughs in the world of human endeavor? I'd offer that those whose computations that create reality, the output of mind, based in truth and love, will always lead the pack. And because, sadly, there's not a whole lot of that around, what seems to be pretty much running the game is hostility and fear. You know, if you watch this powerful example of this in the movie Gandhi, you watch Gandhi, and there's one point where he's portrayed as being enraged with his wife over a discussion they had. And to watch him and how quickly he turned that around, how quickly he deconstructed his reality that perceived his wife through his own generational hostility and fear, and how he arrives at a space of apology for his behavior and moves back to that place of love. That's human life. And I'd offer it was that single skill that allowed Gandhi to become the man who led a nation in captivity to be freed from one of the greatest oppressors the world has ever seen and still sees yet today. And that's the British Empire. The British Empire didn't know how to deal with his sanity, with his human beingness. And in essence, what he said at one point was, you know, I love you all like brothers, and I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing until you can see in the mirror of me your own insanity. And when you do, you will stop and you will leave India. And in essence, that's what happened. I'd offer that Gandhi is no different than you or I. Each one of us that chooses to function out of that sparkling, connected space of love and choose to step up and bring that to the world gives a gift. So, if you would be willing to create a breakthrough in the area of human endeavor called relationships, then you're obligated. You know, you want to be empowered to bring healing forward, then your obligation is to deconstruct every computation your mind makes based in hostility and fear around your relationships until your perception of relationships sparkles with the enthusiasm and the aliveness of a true human life, this bliss and this presence of love. and then step out and make it public. Then step and proclaim the truth of relationship from a mind connected to love, rather than you take a look at the boob tube, and it's very appropriately named, the boob tube, and you look at the proclamations that are made from that insane purveyor of information. When I mean say insane, I mean loveless. I mean that without the active presence of love. You look at how much of that goes on in our world. You look at the messages that come out of that tube based in hostility and fear and rage and guilt and grief and sadness and terror and trauma. Something terrible happened a couple of days ago. Everyone would agree in France. Who has the mind that can look at that? And when that mind produces something based in hostility or fear, deconstruct the hostility or fear until they arrive at a space where they hold that whole circumstance in the presence of love. Each mind that is capable of doing that becomes another mind that's capable of bringing healing to the world. Yeshua said 2,000 years ago, Yeshua the physicist said, a little leavening leavens the whole loaf. I think we're safe in assuming he wasn't talking about bread. He was talking about human life. It's only going to take a few. That's what we're here to support. And we're delighted that you're here to join us in doing that and to do the work of forgiveness. And Jeannie, is Dr. Kim with us today?
He is, and he's on.
Awesome. Let's say hello to the young man. How do you be, sir?
I'm doing well. I didn't think I heard you say that this forgiveness tool is available on the website. So,
good point.
I think it's a real good thing to say after such a beautiful intro to let people know this is available free at www.whyagain.org. And the power of that tool to positively affect our lives, each of us who picks it up and applies it to our lives, goes beyond words in a heartbeat. And the other thing I would say, based on how you ended your intro, is this thing that happened over in France has its origins in the very thing you're talking about. And I don't mean people shooting other people. I mean people who think they are offended because somebody else draws something on a piece of paper. People who have been taught to think that something written on a piece of paper can cause anger, fear, pain, insult, hurt, or condemnation inside of themselves. And it's just at the root of all of it. And if we can really come back to the actual root, the actual center, the inner truth of the whole thing, then we'll be sitting in that energy of creation and love, and there won't be any alarm bells going off of anger and fear and sadness. And then when we're in that space, if alarm bells do go off and we've been taught correctly what they're about, we see, oh, this means there's a problem in me where the alarm went off, instead of thinking, oh, the problem's outside of me somewhere, even though the alarm is going off inside me. But if you just stop and think about it for a few moments, with a breath, with calm feelings, think about the most loving thing that you can ever experience or have experienced in your life. Breathe into that, and then imagine somebody getting murderous rage going in them and thinking it's caused by what somebody wrote on a piece of paper. And you can see how absurd it is from that loving perspective. But if you're staying in the stress of the rat race of the culture and achieving, and the momentum of the conditioning of the culture is running in you, then you find it's very easy to say, well, of course those people should be arrested and shot and whatever because they wrote this on this piece of paper. You know, with inside an illusory world, an illusion has great power. In an insane world, someone who has sanity operating in them looks pretty insane. And we're just opting for encouraging people to pick up the tool of forgiveness, do that worksheet process, whether it's the 7-step or the 12-step or the child's work it out worksheet. Store your mind to its true natural source and your awareness to your true natural source, and then look at what's going on. And then you'll have far better, more accurate data to work with, and you're likely to come up with a solution that is loving and supportive of the health and well-being of you and everybody else on the planet. So,
yay!
Whyagain.org, click on the red and white bullseye or click on the link that says start here, and it's all there for free. The worksheet process, Michael Rice's chapter 24 of his book, audio downloads of at least 12 different shows like this where people have been stepped through the process. It's the next best thing to having a support group to go to. You don't get quite the same experience of being in a room with all those loving souls supporting each other, but it is the next best thing. Listen to those archived shows of people being stepped through the worksheet process and watch. I think it's Lynn who has one, and Lynn had a couple decades worth of murderous rage she had been holding on to, and in the process of that 30 or 40 minute worksheet process with you, she completely dismantled that murderous rage. And it's just a beautiful thing to be able to have access to that for free at whyagain.org. And the other thing I would say is we had our support group again last night. I'm privileged to be able to have two support groups to attend every week. And we had a very small group last night. We had our bitter cold wind chills and people with our schools closed and warnings to stay inside. And so it was just myself and one other person, and we had a delightful group. We watched some videos about Krishnamurti and Joseph Campbell talking about myth and religion, and then we watched the meaty part of the most recent talk by Dale Allen Hoffman that he posted on YouTube, the title of which is, Be Open Now, We Are the Ones, We Are the People We've Been Waiting For. And we got to discuss the dynamics, problems in our lives today, how we focus on the outside and that traps us, and the importance of dismantling the belief systems and the dogmas which have so much momentum within us, so then we are able to step into the forgiveness process much more easily. We're able to dismantle everything that's less than love within us if we dismantle the dogmas and beliefs and all the momentum behind it. And so that's my report. We had an absolutely wonderful evening, and again, it's a testimony to the fact that support groups with 15 or 20 people in them are marvelous, and so are the ones where there's just one or two people.
Yay. Awesome, Tim. And thank you for the reminder of bringing in the material that's available on the website, clicking that bullseye and just tapping in, and there's just all kinds of information there. And we're here, of course, when you start to use the tools to answer the questions every day. That's the whole idea. And, of course, there are also paid forms of the material that you can order from the website. If you'd like to support us from that perspective, you can go to the catalog, and there's the video of Why Is This Happening to Me Again. There's Healing Through Relationships. There's Codependence. There's a broad range of materials available to support support you in building the brain cells for how to do something about the insanity that's running our world. And as you were talking, Tim, and you know, this conversation about what just happened in France, few people will probably enjoy me bringing this idea up, but I think it's something that we need to get a critical mass of people to look at and do some forgiveness around. You know, if we go back to Yeshua, Yeshua says, if you live by the sword, you will die by the sword. This is a message he gives to Paul. He allows Paul to bring one sword to the Garden of Gethsemane in order, I believe, to deliver the message to him that if you live by the sword, you have sown a vibration within your field, which will come into this process of your mind computing its realities. And with that at the root of the output of your mind, you will find yourself placing yourself in a situation where you'll be taken out by the sword. It's just a direct correlation. And I was recently watching a History Channel documentary on the Crusades. And, excuse me, I just inhaled a little bit of water, excuse me. And in watching this documentary and just tying all of the pieces together, putting this in line. Excuse me for a second. I'm going to have to take a mouthful of water. Just give me one second. Okay, excuse me. I'm back. In any event, putting this all together with the principles of the codependence workshop and recognizing that when people are under stress, there are three basic behaviors that control them. When there's no stress, people will tend to do what they did to get along with their power person. When stress starts to build, people will do what they did to resist and survive with their power person. And when people become ultra-stressed, they will do what the power person did to them that they hated the most. Just putting all these pieces together, what just happened in France, the Crusades, Yeshua, live by the sword, you die by the sword, power person dynamic, and in this National Geographic or History Channel documentary that we're talking about, a Muslim invader who came in and took over Jerusalem and when invited to destroy the Christian monuments and, you know, slaughter people, he refused. And this special went into a description of how literally when the so-called Christian, that is the European invaders who called themselves Crusaders, went in to fight the Muslims, that literally they were so brutal that the streets ran with rivers of the blood of Muslims. Literally, the streets ran with blood. And I'd offer that those so-called Christians, those so-called Christian soldiers who went in and caused that kind of suffering and pain, that is part of this power person dynamic that leads to the violence that we're seeing from the extremists in any religious group, but in this case, one that's being highlighted today, the Muslim. And when we can start to take responsibility and go all the way back into our genes, go all the way back into our history, and recognize all the times that we have lived by the sword, whether the sword was our tongue, whether it was an atomic bomb, whether it was the swords that caused the blood of Muslims to run in the streets of Jerusalem, that when someone can get big enough and be a powerful enough presence of love to access in themselves that history, that energy, bring it forward in the presence of love and dissolve it, then we're going to free our planet from that insanity, whoever it comes from. And my invitation is that because there's such an awesome group of people who are coming together on an ongoing basis, especially with this show, who are doing their work, I invite each of you to consider being one who can get big enough as the active presence of love to pull forward out of your genes, out of my genes, those old, insane, energetic dynamics that are still being played out today. Jeannie and I watched a special or a Native American piece last night called Dakota 38. And I had never known of this before. But back in the late 1800s, the U.S. government, with one lever, pulled this lever and hung 38 Native Americans. And this Dakota 38 video is based on the dream of a currently living Native American man who saw he and a group of other Native Americans riding on horseback. And this is a current annual event now from other parts of the Dakotas and coming into the village or the town where these 38 Native Americans were hung. And coming through the, I think their journey was about 375 miles on horseback at Christmas. This slaughter of 38 Native Americans was done on December 26th, the day after Christmas. And so they made the ride to arrive in this town. And all along the way were supported by, connected with, and spoke of forgiveness and healing to farmers and ranchers and mayors and people in towns along the way who have this in their history. It was just awesome to watch. Everything from young kids, you know, 12, 13 years of age, on horseback through some really heavy duty. The kind of winter that you're having right now, Tim, is the kind of winter that this video, there were a couple of days where it was down well below zero with wind chill factors of 40 below, and they're riding on horseback across the country to bring a message of healing from the Native Americans. It's just so powerful. And what we're capable of doing if we choose to live as human beings is just awesome. So we invite anyone who's inclined, if you look into your history of violence, your family's history of violence, whatever your nationality is, you know, virtually every country in the world and the different nationalities have done their insanities. And as we join together, really, truly, and it was so powerful to watch these Native Americans speak of their ancestors and what happened to them. And basically the ancestors who had been forced onto reservations stood up to fight because they were starving. The Bureau of Indian Affairs provided food, and the food was basically stolen by those who were administrating the process. And these people were starving to death. And this is what led to 38 Native Americans being hung. What insanities have we done? Are we willing, instead of keeping those things at an unconscious level, keeping them hidden from ourselves? If you want to look at how distorted it can get by someone who was aware enough to know that his distortions were coming from the unconscious, go to the Dali Museum. Go look at Dali and some of the paintings he did and some of the bizarre stuff that comes out of his mind. But the invitation is to be willing to use this tool of first century Aramaic forgiveness, which, as Dr. Tim so aptly and kindly pointed out, is freely available on whyagain.org. Click the bullseye. The whole instruction set is there. Engage in this process of forgiveness. Begin to confront your own, your genetic, your cultural, your ancestral unconsciousness. Bring it forward in the presence of love and bring healing to it. The only person I know on planet Earth who knew precisely and exactly how to directly access the unconscious dynamics involved in any given circumstance was a man named Yeshua 2,000 years ago. He taught a technology called forgiveness. The Greeks turned it backward. Fortunately, we've had the privilege of being able to rediscover how it worked. And if you will take that tool in any situation where you say to yourself, I don't know why I did that, then you will start to touch into why you did that. And you'll begin to clean it out of your genetics. It's time. The threat on planet Earth of the unconscious dynamics around the globe is legion. It's only going to take a few who choose to do something different. And so we invite each of you to choose to do that work of healing. It's an awesome gift to give to your family bloodline and to give to your culture. Any thoughts in that regard, Tim?
Well, the thing that popped into my mind right when you said that is that it's an awesome gift to give your family bloodline and your culture, and contrary to what the world has taught us, when we give something away, we get it first, and we get it back and more. And as we talked about a few days ago from Course in Miracles, it isn't a zero-sum game. It's not like I've got 100 units of something, and if I give you 75 of them, I'm only left with 25. In this realm of light and love and energy, energy doesn't get destroyed. And when I share it with people, I get it back and more. And I feed the system with integrative energy, and my life is filled with love and compassion. And I give that gift of love and compassion to my bloodline and my culture and the world, and I get it back over and over. It's an endless cycle of growth. It's an endless cycle of flow of energy. And so give away exactly what you want to get, like that Course in Miracles lesson, A New Beginning, says. That would be my thought.
Awesome. Jeannie, do you have anything to share from what we watched last night and the conversation? Jeannie has some Native American genes in her, and so it was very touching to sit together and watch this last night. Actually, we watched two videos. One is a story based on the life of a man named Leonard Peltier, who's currently in prison, has been for 30 years. The U.S. government had to set somebody up to take the fall for the murder of two FBI agents. And, I mean, they go over the case, and the attorneys are talking about it, and it's just fraught with fraud and error. But this man's been in prison for over 30 years for it. We watched that first, and the systematic degradation and destruction of the Native American culture. it still goes on today, and it's something that needs to be healed. And then to move into this Dakota 38 video, which the Native Americans are coming forward with this whole idea of responsibility and forgiveness. It was just, it was powerful. And so do you have anything to share, Jeannie?
Well, a couple things. One being that, like the main guy that got this started, he said that in the spring of 2005, he had actually had a dream. And the dream was a series of horseback rides that would bring the Dakota people together. And he was, I thought of Brad when this guy was talking, because he was also a Vietnam veteran. And he had to really process a lot of things that came up for him. One of the things was that, and he didn't see the connection of this until after this started, but when he was in Vietnam, he had 38 kills and how he had to process through that. And then when he had this dream and he started checking about, you know, the horseback ride and everything, then is when he found out about the Dakota 38. And even though he was a Dakota descendant, he had never heard of it. And then to see the significance of that, that there were 38 of his native, of his own family, his own descendants that were killed, and that he had killed 38 of somebody else's nationality, and having to really process through that. And one of the things he said was that when they got there, that they needed to be the first ones.
I believe this is
really it. He said, we have to forgive first before we'll see the change. And that's true for us. And then there was a young boy on the ride. And, you know, there were people interviewing them all along the way. And this young boy was so bitter against white people. And he said, because, you know, as they would go, they'd stop different places. And most of the time it was Caucasians that had a place set up, whether it was a barn or a warehouse or whatever. They'd feed them a meal, give them a warm place to stay, put their animals up for the night. And he said, I know if something gets missing while we're here, they're going to blame us for it. And so he had as much distrust towards white people as he felt like they had towards the Native Americans. And to see him process through all of that, and at the end to say that it was up to him to take the wonderful feeling that he had doing this ride and to take it back and make it a part of his everyday life. And then at the very end of the movie, they were given kind of a synopsis of some of the people, and this young boy, it didn't say what happened, but he died. So he didn't live very long after they made this film.
Yeah, the ride was in 2010, and
I think
he was one of the, I think he was maybe 14 or 15, that didn't explain what happened to him, but yeah. Second or the first line in step two of the work that says, I choose to love truth and to willingly embrace all of the disease producing energies for all my relations. And so if this conversation brings discomfort in you, in your mind computing its reality, then we invite you to embrace your discomfort in the presence of love, to breathe, to forgive, and to be the space that opens so that these insane dynamics can be changed on planet Earth. Thank you, sweetie. And yeah, actually, I had kind of forgotten that piece where he talked about the fact that he had killed 38 people in Vietnam, and then he found out afterward that it was 38 of his ancestors who'd been hung. And, you know, and then the fact that he's the one who came forward with this dream of healing. It's very powerful. Calling number is 646-200-4169. If you have a thought, question, anything you'd like to share, we'd love to hear from you. By the way, we did hear from Michelle. I got an email from her late last night, and she's rocking along and doing well, all moving forward with her health challenges, and she's doing very well. So, Michelle, we hold you in our heart. You know, bless you.
She's in the chat room, and she says, I want to share my deepest thanks and loving appreciation for the love that was directed my way yesterday. I plan to listen when I'm in the car for several hours later today. But Rex, Julie, or maybe it was both, said that it was amazing. So thank you. And we do have a hand up.
Well, let's say hello.
Area code 541. Is this Miss Julie?
Yes. Hi.
Hey.
Hi. Wow, this is so deeply healing what we're doing. Thank you. I want to see that movie for sure. So here's something I'd like to contribute. While you were sharing, both of you, I felt the resonance. It came up in me, and I went through one of my releases where I just really see myself as one of those. I perhaps was one of those who killed those people or taunted them or anything like that, okay? And I go through these sorts of purges periodically as they come up. And thank goodness, Michael, for the work you've brought to us, that I don't get caught up in the story of it or the fear of it or the needing to suppress it anymore. And I don't even know if it's true. I don't need to know that. I just know that those thoughts resonate in me, and I know that there's a way to have them removed. So I breathe, I cry, I do the really quick I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's the Hawaiian where you say, I love you, forgive me, thank you, I'm sorry. I don't know what order you say them in. And when I say forgive me, I say it with all the consciousness of what I know forgiveness to be now from the Aramaic teachings. And anyway, I'd like to share that when 9/11 happened, I had at least been enough of a student of the Course in Miracles, enough years, to know, I just knew, I did not go into the drama. I knew that what we were experiencing were the effects of our thoughts. That's what I just was so clear in my mind. And so that was a long time ago, 2001, and I had never encountered any of your work, Michael Rice, until 2011. So this has been a long-term healing process, even as it's looked like it's been getting worse out there in the world. And so my tools have been, you know, I've been gathering better and better tools. I feel like so grateful that I am in the presence of such great teachers right now that, you know, have so much to contribute to me. And on a daily basis, I'm nourished by you, by Jeannie, by Dr. Tim, by Dale Allen Hoffman, all the people who are in the backgrounds of all of you, like Dr. Tim refers to Albert Finney. I'm not sure. And anyway, there's so much contribution for us to focus the light on these thoughts that we seemingly are the effect of. You know, and the avenue of the worksheets to remove them from our consciousness. So, as bad and dark as it all looks, and also all the commentary about it that points out what the problem is, and they hardly have any solutions, but they just want to fuel it more in the media, there are glimmers of light where people see some of the roots and want to bring forth light and truth. And so that is where I'm focusing now, those thoughts, so that, you know, I'm not the effect as much of those other thoughts, except as they come up to be healed in a field of light and love. Thank you for today's release. And I think there are so many of us doing this work this way that we need to just know and trust that the results are rippling out, even if we don't see them immediately. But the place that I see it first is inside me and how I feel and how I carry out the rest of my day. And every person that I meet, I am able to be a hope and a light for them by just meeting them where they are, seeing what's to be seen, how does it resonate in me. And, you know, sometimes I'm more clear and other times I'm not, but still, you know, just that present moment of potential to let these thoughts that we have become the effect of to leave us. So thank you. I just wanted to offer that. I don't know how anyone else ties it all together, but that's part of my awareness.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate the fact. Continue to do your work with diligence and peel through the layers. You know, it is the opening, like the opening of the lotus blossom. It happens as a process. It doesn't happen overnight, and we hold the space. And as each of us continues to do our own internal work with our own little corner of genetics and embrace the larger and larger picture, together we are changing the game. And that's what we're here to support on planet Earth. And in the meantime, if you happen to be in the Tampa, St. Petersburg area, this will be our last conversation before our next workshop. We'll be, of course, back on Monday. We invite you to bring a stranger to the show. But in the meantime, if you happen to be in the Tampa, St. Pete area, Sunday morning we'll be doing the services at Unity of North in Tampa. Sunday afternoon, I believe it's 2 to 6, we'll do Why Is This Happening to Me Again? Free open workshop. Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, all free open workshops. Come and join us. Saturday, we will be doing Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing. That is the one fee-based workshop that we do when we travel. It'll be an all-day workshop. And so if you'd like to join us, we'd be delighted to have you for that whole week of workshops there. And then we'll complete that next Saturday. And Sunday morning, we'll start the routine all over again. We'll be at Unity in St. Petersburg, first Unity in St. Pete. A week from Sunday, we'll do Sunday services, and then Sunday afternoon, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday evening, free open workshop. Complimentary set, seeing as how the two centers are near enough to each other, we've set up so that the only two workshops we'll duplicate will be the Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing and the Why Is This Happening to Me Again? Otherwise, if you're in this area, you can come to Unity North and get a full 5 workshops, and then get a different 5 workshops at Unity in St. Pete, with, of course, Sunday being the 11th workshop. We'll do the same Why Is This Happening to Me Again at each center on the respective Sunday. So we invite you to come and join us. We appreciate the fact that you choose to move these tools forward with us, and we join you in creating an awesome gift to give the world, and that is for you to have the best year yet of your eternal life. We hold you in a blessing. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.